I got some good news for you.
You had a chance to listen to Naughty by Nature yesterday?
What's that?
Listen to Naughty by Nature yesterday?
A little bit at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, ironically, that's the second time I've seen Naughty by Nature live in Baltimore.
Wasn't it there the last time we went?
No.
Who was there the last time?
Big Boy was there.
Big Boy, Big Boy.
No, when I was in college, we used to go to Fells Point for Halloween every year. And one year, we were just walking the streets of Fells Point in, imagine the kind of shape I was in Halloween in college. And this bouncer at this bar is like, yo, Naughty by Nature's performing. We're like, what? He's like, yeah, Naughty by Nature, $10 cover. And so we paid, and it was the most amazing Halloween night ever.
I talked to him for about 15 minutes before the game.
Speaking of losing their fastball, Tretch wasn't even there. A couple things, though. If you're feeling down, you're feeling blue, I want to tell you two things before we get to these phone lines. Dallas Cowboys lost yesterday 47-9.
Yeah.
They gave up 492 yards of offense, and it was Jerry Jones' birthday.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you that, one. Two, Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels spoke at the podium for a number of minutes yesterday. The last question, his answer, is everything you wanted to hear after that game. Here's Jaden.
Yeah, I mean, we're right there. We're never going to give up. We're competing. We're fighting. You know, moving on to the next.
That's it. That's all you need to say, dude. We're right there. We're never going to give up. We're competing. We're fighting. We're on to the next. It's not. They're 4-2. Like, it's a 17-game season. Did you think they were going undefeated, B?
No. Well, after the first game, we knew that wasn't possible.
Right. So that's a tough L. You keep moving. Carolina's coming to town, and they are 8.5-point favorites. It doesn't mean anything. Football's a crazy sport.
Gotta play the game.
Let's get to these phones. Our guy Rusty is in Delaware. Rusty, what's up, how brother? You doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing today?
We're good.
Hey, no doom and gloom here, man. I mean, B. Mitch, I saw you on the post game talking about all the haters and everything. I was like, okay, I know Brian's in his bag a little bit right now. but what I'm saying is we don't have the horses on defense to contend with, you know, the upper echelon of teams. But once we get there, man, this is a dangerous looking operation with an elite player at the most important position. Mm-hmm. Like the offensive lineman said, we're always in the game. So anybody that calls today with doom and gloom, I mean, you got to see that there are stepping stones and we are well on our way. And that whole misery Monday sounder that's been playing all day, I mean, that's not for today. Yeah, we took an L, but in the long term look of things, I think we're going to be okay.
Yep. Thanks, Rusty. It's a good call.
Yes, sir.
The sounder just exists. I don't think you should take that personally.
Yeah.
We're going.
I understand where he's going with it, though.
We're going from Rusty to Russ. Going all Russes. Anybody
named Russ?
Russ or Rusty, you get to the top of the line.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. How y'all doing today?
We good, brother.
Hey, I'm happy, man. Listen, I know we lost, but it's a good thing. I think Jaden, that young man, is going to break all the records in the books. I think he's coming. Yeah, our defense, you know, we're going to have to get improved. We knew that, but it's a learning thing. So I know they all on St. Jude's and stuff. But, you know, the same crew that put this whole thing together, I never thought, you know, that we'd be here where we're at. They're going to fix it. They're going to fix whatever, that game. They're going to fix it. So I got faith in us. It's like B-Mitch said, like Doc, like you did, JP. You know, have faith in Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and them back even before they started the season. So look what they've done. So, hey, I appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a good day.
Hi, thanks, bro. Russ.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you, buddy. There's.
It's about faith.
What the first caller, Rusty, had me look up the lyrics to Bounce Back, the Big Sean hit. And I think it's like the first two lines. Last night took an L, but tonight I bounce back. Wake up every morning by the night, I count stacks. Like, I think that is where Washington is after that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted this video last night. I think they're going to beat the hell out of the Panthers. And then you've got a whole lot of juice for Caleb Jaden week 8. Right?
Yeah.
Because 7's coming. They have holes defensively. We're aware of them. So is Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Our guy, Drew, I know he was there tailgating his butt off. Drew, what up, man?
Hey, I'm a little bit slow this morning, But I'm not feeling too bad. Of course, we would have wanted to win, but the Ravens are a good team, and then they also played well yesterday, right? But we were right there with them. You know, the good news is I'm looking at the next 11 games on the schedule. The Ravens are clearly the best team that we faced, and it's the best team out of all the next 11. So I'm looking at that saying there's 8-3 possible, and we could still get a 12-win season out of here. So, you know, I'm not disappointed. I mean, for a loss, it's not so bad. The Cowboys today are disappointed.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, dude.
That makes it all feel better, don't it?
So I think I want to be clear that I don't think you should start looking too far ahead, because football seasons are just so random. So much changes and happens, and it's just such a roller coaster that I think playing out the who will be the best teams that the Commanders face over the rest of the year. What if Atlanta wins 5 in a row now that they have their offense working, and then the Falcons have some insane record by the time we get to late December? Like, it's just, you don't want to get too far out of your skis looking at an NFL schedule. I think you can look at Carolina for sure, and then maybe even Chicago after that. I think also just from, if you go back to when the schedule was released, Brian, I think we were in agreement on this, but I know that at least for me, I was like, listen, the opening of that season is going to be rough because they got a lot of weird travel,
mm-hmm.
3 out of 4 on the road. They had a short week in there. They took care of business, man. They went 3-1 in that first stretch. Now they've got a really advantageous stretch of games. They beat Cleveland at home, drop one to the Ravens on the road. You got the next 2 at home, the next 3 of the next 4 at home, and of your next 6 games, the furthest you're traveling is New York. Like, you get a short week against the Eagles, but then you get 10 days to get ready for the Cowboys at home.
Hey, all I'm worried about is Carolina.
Right.
I don't care about the other game.
I think that's
fair. And I'm sure the players are definitely focused on what's next, not what's beyond that.
That was by far the overarching message in that locker room, is what those guys were saying. And I found that impressive. Let's go to our guy Jay down in South Carolina. Jay, what up, buddy?
What up, B. Mitch and JP? How we doing?
Yo, did you think your Gamecocks were going to pull off that upset against Alabama?
Man, we gotta fix that offense, man. We gotta fix that offense, man.
That's a tough L, so dude. Close. Damn.
But going to our game yesterday. Here's the problem that I have with just fans in general. Going into that game, and B mentioned JP, y'all got common sense of football like how I do when it comes to the knowledge. You knew that game yesterday was going to be about which secondary was going to be able to stop, or which defense was going to basically be able to hold up.
Because
both offenses can play. They can. And what I'm learning about our team, and one of the callers said it, like, I want to say, this actually was last year, I want to say, and I kind of second-guessed him a little bit. But B mentioned JP, we just ain't got the secondary, bro. We really don't. Like, we stopped Zay Flowers in the second half, but then you just can't cover nobody else. And one person, B mentioned JP, that I just want to ask, because y'all get like an actual view and y'all get more of an inside scoop than I do, because I'm not an insider, so I don't really know too much. Why is Percy Butler out there? I just don't understand. Bump St. Juice, push Percy Butler, common sense. 2 guys in the red zone that you always worry about when you play Baltimore. Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. They kill. That's what they do. That's who they go to.
Andrews was wide open.
Mm-hmm. Wide open, right. And Percy Butler is guarding grass. And I told you guys, I'm a high school defensive backs coach. It don't matter the level, whether it's college, NFL, or high school. You teach your kids in that secondary, do not guard grass. What is he guarding? What is he looking at? I just don't know. And for St. Juice, he's our best corner. I feel like, well, Sam Strill too, but he played a little bit. But I say this about St. Juice, and I'm going to give him credit, although he did not play well. He has not looked bad all season. He's decent. He's decent. He ain't solid. He's decent. We don't really have that CB1. I'm a firm believer with the way we played yesterday. We can play with anybody, JP, and you tweeted that, and I'm going to give you credit for that. We are secondary away. I feel like we're secondary away from being really, in my opinion, contenders. I just don't see – if we get a secondary, I just don't say you can play with us because our offense rolling, bro. So – that's all I'll say today. Other than that, Jaden adjusted well. Cliff called a good game. I mean, it's just the secondary, man. But we really ain't got the players, so I can't get mad at DQ and Wick.
Thanks, buddy.
All right,
good
bro.
Call. It's a good call.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm specifically mad at Percy. I don't know. One thing I found curious, and a lot of folks have asked me this, I want your take. You know how many defensive snaps Derek Forrest has played this year?
Zero.
Four.
Four? I didn't think he played at all.
No, because they've had him active the last couple weeks for specials, basically. He's playing about 50% of the special team snaps so far this year.
Well, I mean,
what is it you think happened with Forrest?
I mean, injury, and then when you're injured and you're not out there performing for the new staff that comes in, kind of hard for them to put the people that's been here doing it all the time, put you in front of those guys. And I will say this, Percy and whoever else is playing all the time must be doing what the coach wanted them to do because they're out there all the time. And we know if you're not performing properly, you won't be on the football field.
I got another question for you.
Yeah.
Is Noah I right?
Yes.
Now, that's not saying a ton, but he has been, since they figured out, you can look at yesterday's game and say the defense got torched. The numbers would support that the defense got torched.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch the game, like the actual game flow, how it went, like I'm aware that Baltimore piled up 484 yards of offense.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Very much.
But when you watch the game flow, it never seemed like a total runaway.
It didn't seem like a runaway, but it just seemed like if we were to go down on them, they were going to go down on us. You know what I mean? So, and score.
Luckily, Jeff's two in his bag fighting with people on Twitter that he didn't hear that. Landfill, how many times do you think Baltimore punted yesterday?
I think it was once.
What do you think, B?
Did they punt?
They punted once. And it's like, I don't think the defense was that bad yesterday. They got a turnover, but damn, when you look at it and then you replay events in your mind, and they did, the third and sixth pass interference was a killer because that would have been a punt.
That dude just tripped up on his own feet. And St. Juice didn't do anything to make him fall. He failed because he's just clumsy.
But the possession chart for Baltimore starting in the second quarter, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, field goal, game over.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to win many games when that's what your opponent's possession chart looks like.
Yeah.
Washington was able to score too. Let's touch on the kicker. So Seibert had opened the year 13 for 13, missed one. Maybe it got blocked. They tried the long one.
They got blocked.
So he missed the one that got blocked.
Came back with a 55. He hit a 52 and a 55-yarder.
Makes a 55-yarder.
And a 55-yarder had enough room, a lot of room to spare.
Yeah, I mean, that joint was a rocket. Had the really weird extra point that I think was good but was odd. Where are we at? I think this kicker situation is the best it's been in some time.
And I think I'm not discussing the kicker. Why are we discussing
the
kicker?
Well, he missed the one before. If he makes that one before halftime, I do think from a drive chart situation, because they got the ball coming out of half.
Yeah. The ball, it was blocked. And they got it. I don't know who hand got up there, but they had a lot of hands up there. He could have kicked it higher, but whatever, but.
But just think about it. It was 17-10 going into half. It's 17-13 there, and they're getting the ball. Maybe you take the lead. On that first possession, they kicked another field goal. That's when he made the 55-yarder. I feel very good about Seibert. I think everyone should.
I am not complaining about him.
I agree with you. You would have liked to get that score before halftime, though. But we're picking faults. Ultimately, I asked Landfill this. After they didn't score on the opening INT, you get that takeaway, go punch it in for seven,
it
right?
It changes the momentum.
Once Baltimore, I felt like Baltimore was going to win the game kind of throughout. Because even when Washington's down two scores, you applaud the ability to get back in it, but then you're still down one score. You know, like they never leveled up, I don't think.
Like you said, like the defense, didn't, you don't think they played awful. I don't think they played awful either. But I did not seem that – I didn't see a point once they got up that we were going to make that stop.
Right.
Like what we did against Arizona and what we did against the Bengals, I never felt that yesterday. And you see the offense gear, you go, okay, they're moving the ball. And I was thinking, okay, offense real good in the second half. But you come down, you score, you get a field goal, they get a touchdown. You get a touchdown, they get a touchdown. It's kind of hard when you're already behind and you don't seem to be able to stop the other side.
Totally agree. Phone lines are packed. Stay there. We're doing phones until 1 o'clock. Everybody's going to get a chance to talk today. We're all in it together. It's B. Mitch and Fett.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
Good tune, Landfill.
Trouble.
Shout out to Bobby McFerrin.
Make it double. Don't worry.
Is Bobby McFerrin still with us?
Be happy. I don't know.
Don't worry. Be happy.
You know what, Jeff? Fair enough, buddy. Bobby McFerrin, 74, still kicking. Shout out to Bobby. Phone lines are packed, man. I think a lot of people have a lot to say. Let's go to Vic in Accokeek. What up, Vic?
What's up, brothers?
What's up, man?
All right, so let's it's good to holler at y'all too. I don't usually get to talk to y'all during this time of day. I'm off work today.
Appreciate it.
All right, so dialectic, two things that are obviously that can be true. We are not that talented in our secondary, and that's just the bottom line. The other thing is, we are still a good football team, and we are ahead of schedule as far as I'm concerned, as what the expectations of people thought we would be around the NFL and around our commander community. Another thing that is true, I'm questioning Joe Witt's ability to teach basic football fundamentals. One of the callers before me had just said, you teach DBs and linebackers drop it into coverage, you can't cover grass. And what I was baffled by is why we stayed in man and why we blitzed so much. Not blitzed at all, but blitzed so much. And the fact that Tony Romo was saying they're getting crossers every time, and this is how Lamar Jackson is eating them up the most. And if they would give the appearance or the window be tightened by another person, I'm going to say person to simplify for listeners, in the zone when either the corners has them in man crossing or the linebacker drops when it crosses his face, if the backer or the strong safety to the flat side opposite of the field would sync with eyes, one eye to the quarterback and one eye to where he's crossing his face, that window gets a little tighter just that fast for Lamar Jackson. It happened on the first series when he threw into that tight window. And when you're in the right position, when you're in the right technique, big plays take – that's when big plays happen. We left our not as talented defensive backs on islands all day. What I just said is what is taught to high school football players, Pop Warner football players, college football players to an extent, all the time. So what I'm trying to understand, you know we're not that talented, Joe. You know that we have to hide our lack of talent in the defensive backfield, much like the 49ers did in 2001 and 2002 when Lance Shoulders was their best safety, but their defensive secondary was terrible. Why? Either what you're telling me is we are so less talented that our guys are not understanding what the concept is, or you're not teaching it. That's what I have a problem with.
Vic, I
got to
kind of keep it moving, brother. I appreciate it,
okay,
man.
No problem.
It's a good call.
No problem.
Thanks, dude.
No problem.
Definitely some frustrations coming out of that second.
But I'll say this. I sat there with
I like Witt.
I sat there with Tanner yesterday, and a lot of stuff, we talk a lot of football. There are a lot of things happening. I know what they're doing is not being taught. like the crossers are doing, you got to pass off and do different things like that. But no, when you sit there and you let the guy come off and then use the sit, a lot of times you got to crowd him so you don't get caught with the crossing routes. Because what happened yesterday, I think, a pass on the cornerback kind of settled. The other guy came in from inside, and he had to bow over the top. You're over. You're dolls. But a lot of
they lost a lot of leverage positions.
These things are being taught. It's just that they're not carrying it over. That's the problem.
I also, like, we came into the season thinking that Washington was going to have secondary struggles. So when they have secondary struggles against possibly the best team in the league, although Detroit, Niners, I mean, there's some good teams. Minnesota, I suppose.
Yeah.
When they have those secondary struggles, don't act like it's a shocker. I get his point about, I mean, the Mark Andrews touchdown was appallingly bad coverage. And they didn't have any of the disturbing deep shots, two corners running into each other type of plays. But the Ravens got chunks throughout that ballgame.
That's true.
They got a lot of 15, 18, 17 yards. Dude, you want to talk efficiency. Lamar.
20 of 26?
Yeah, but 20 completions for 323 yards. So that'll tell you there were some chunks.
Yeah.
Kai is in Northwest. What up, Kai?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Love the show.
Appreciate Thanks, buddy.
I'm just listening. I wanted to talk about B-Rob, but just listening to the last caller, everybody is going on our secondary. You know, it was going to be, like you said, a suspect unit to a degree. But I just want to bring up Derrick Henry, man, a very impactful back that you got to account for. So our secondary was going to they was going to be pressured. They was going to have to eat that pressure because we was going to have to stack the box. And I wanted to say that, you know, I think we really missed B-Rob. I was disappointed going in the game not to have him.
Yeah.
It changed our game a lot. You know, I wanted to address it because I got a lot of partners saying, well, you know, Austin Ekeler better and stuff, this and this, that. He done made some tremendous plays. But I just believe B-Rob, you know, he the one that softened it up. I haven't seen him soften up so many defenses.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. It's a good call.
I agree with you on that,
brother. Lost the game yesterday, Washington couldn't run and couldn't stop the run. Yep.
And those are the things you need to be able to do to win football games.
Analytics pros who want to tell me I'm oversimplifying it. But if you watched yesterday, it was pretty damn apparent who was winning in the trenches.
The physicality of the game is presented in the run game. And when you can't be physical, either way, that's a problem.
Let's go to Vinny in Philly. Vinny, what up?
Hey, guys. What's going on? So I want to start off by just saying that my 100% blame pie goes to the staff from last year. And having 4 years' worth of first-round picks is not even playing for the team anymore. You know, two of them are inactive and two not on the team. 100% goes to them. And I give all the credit in the world to the Peters and Quinn and Jaden for even making it competitive this year because, you know, there's not a single star on that defense other than maybe Luvu. Even your big guys up front, they're not really getting the job done. So hard to win like that. And these guys are making it competitive. And the fact that us as fans are expecting more, I think that just goes all to give all the credit in the world to those guys, you know, the Quinn and Peters and Jaden Daniels, because without them, I don't think we even have a shot this year. And it's going to be more of what we saw in the last couple of years. So I think it's a good thing that we're expecting more, because that means we're going in the right direction as fans. Because if not, you know, we're just going to be struggling and just doing the same thing over and over again. And I think it's going to take time. Like you said, you can't fix everything in one off season. And so, you know, hopefully in the next off season and the next year, we can shore up that secondary and maybe somebody get traded in the deadline. That'll help. But at this current point in time, I think if we versus a team that has a really good wide receiver or a really good offense, it's going to be hard to keep up.
Hey, Vinny, let me ask you a question, dude. You live in Philly?
Yep.
And you're a Skins Commanders fan?
Yeah, I was born and raised in D.C. I moved up here when my dad got, you know, a couple of businesses. But
how are you?
Yeah, I'm a diehard.
How's that go? Like, do you wear the gear and catch heat all the time or what?
Absolutely. I bleed burgundy and gold. I will. And this year, I've been the most obnoxious fan ever because it's taken. You know, I'm 30 years old, so I haven't seen a good team in a long time. So you know, all my friends, they definitely hate me right now because. I am in their face nonstop because when we have a good team, I'm like, hey, I don't know how long this is going to last. Let me just get it all out now. I am the most obnoxious fan to them. Whether it burns down tomorrow, it is what it is.
How are they doing?
You have a tag team partner here with Jeff Walker.
How are the Eagles fans holding up with the disaster that is Nick Sirianni?
They are not happy right now. I will tell you, my friends, we have a group message with all my friends that are fantasy, you know, together, and they are not happy with the way the team's looking. That yesterday with Sirianni did was super embarrassing, and the radio stations here are going crazy. I see it all on Twitter and everything, but they're going nuts, and they're not happy, especially with the press. I don't know if you saw the press conference after.
Yeah,
we brought his kids up there and everything. Bad look. And he was yelling at the fans. Yeah, it's getting ugly up here.
Who's coming on? Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Ike's coming on tomorrow.
But
right?
You know, I'm telling you what he did. After he did that to the fans, he felt bringing his kids was going to soften everything for him. He yelled at the wrong fans. He about to feel the wrath. Believe me.
Man, that thing.
That was a mistake.
I've been calling my shot. That dude ain't it, and it's going to implode. Vinny, though, did bring something interesting there. They did lose, and we got to do a blame pie for the loss.
Mm-hmm.
I could start if you'd like. I guess I should break. Thank you, Landfill. Blame pies when we return. Stay on the phones. Everybody's going to get their chance. Phones are open till 1 o'clock.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Cap off week 6 with a chance to win on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. New customers can bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets if you win a bet on tonight's game. As the Jets take on the Bills, we go with Garrett Wilson over receiving yards, James Cook over rushing yards, and how about a Josh Allen anytime touchdown? Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
1. Is there like a theme here, Landfill? Things you're going to do when you get off work?
Red wine and Coke.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Make sure I say the right thing. I won't put you out there like that, Landfield. Red wine and Coca-Cola.
Commanders lost yesterday. Therefore, we got to give some blame pies. I think the inability to run the ball or stop the run was a major factor in this thing. And, you know, I think they've been pretty good all year, but I'm going equal 35-35s to the O-line and the D-line. Not to say that the entire run plan hinges upon those guys, but it starts with them on both sides of the ball, and they didn't get it done. Early in the game when Washington needed to run the ball and stay on the field and get out of these three and outs, they couldn't. Late in the game when Washington needed to get a stop, try to tie this thing up, they couldn't. So that's 70 of my chips between the O-line and the D-line. I'm only giving one player a specific name here, and it's BSJ. He didn't have his best day yesterday. And then the secondary as a whole, another 20. You give up almost 500 yards, mm-hmm. It's going to land on the defense pretty much. But I do think – I don't think it was just that B-Rob wasn't there. I don't know that the O-line was able to
get – I think that played a big part, though, Jay.
Yeah, I do too. But I can't blame B-Rob for being hurt, right?
Just the blame – it's not blaming B-Rob for being hurt, but the not having him there was a problem.
Yeah. You got to blame Pie?
I'm going to go with, I don't know the percentages. I'm going to throw in what I believe. Like, I'm going to go B-Rob not being there. I am going to go with John Harbaugh calling the plays on defense.
I got to watch that.
I think that made a hell of a difference. Because, listen, Zach is up and coming. But I don't know if he would have been able to call like he was doing yesterday. And they'll probably say, oh, no, he wasn't. But when you put that, when they were putting that camera on him, prior to, when the linebacker looked at the sideline, he was looking right at John Harbaugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was being presented by him.
It was an interesting game. If you look at some of these runs late, you could just tell they were gassed. And Jeff said it earlier, maybe some business decisions got made.
Mm-hmm.
Boys in the Aquarium, you got a blame pie? Jeffrey, you got one?
I got to put...
How much does Drab get?
I'm not giving no credit to the haters, win or lose.
Why is Richard John tweeting me about Drab's butt? What have you involved me in?
I didn't involve you in anything. Richmond John is just Richmond John. You know that. He make his own bits. So I'm gonna go 75% on the defense. Dude, we couldn't stop running water yesterday. Like it was bad. And our secondary was letting, how do you let Mark Andrews run wide open? This is like one of their biggest targets on offense. How is he not accounted for on the field? And then I'm gonna have to get give Joe Witt the rest of the 25%. Bro, you know we gotta do better than that. I don't know if he need to yell at. I personally think he need to yell at BSJ, because I'm not even talking about the penalty. That last touchdown that Derrick Henry scored and he tried to attack that man by the shoulders, dude. I was like, BSJ. I even tweeted. I said, yo, St. Juice, I know that's Derrick Henry, but that was soft. Like, you got to at least attempt. Like, at least attempt to not. I know it's a big thing saying attempt to, you know, take Derrick Henry down. But, God, you're in the NFL. You're the highest level of play. You got to at least try to make that tackle. At least make it look competitive. Dive at his legs. Something. Yeah.
Like, Hyman Roth in The Godfather Part 2. This is the business we've chosen. Like, you have worked your whole life to be a pro athlete on a football field. And be a football player.
Yeah, and to address something, Amit, you said, Jeff, you would get out the way. No, I would not. If I could possibly, I would rather get ran over than look soft getting out the way. It's football.
Tell him, Jeff.
You know what, Jeff? I wonder how true that is. If you were on that field, if you would actually try to tackle Derrick Henry.
I would hit him right in his damn chest.
I was about to say,
I believe you, Brian.
I would try to, yo, I'm not scared of nothing. Like, I would get in the ring with Mike Tyson in his prime.
Why?
Because, I mean, I'm not going to back down. You're not going to punk me. I'm at least try.
Some things you don't have to be scared. But like, you just got to be smart.
Yeah, Jeff. If I'm making all this money.
Have heart like John Starks. Like, I get it. But you really think you're on that field, you get a helmet, and Derrick Henry's coming at you.
Hey, what if
I'm not trying to tackle
what
him?
What if that
I'm a
one 43-year-old
father of two.
What if that one time you just stand there and you take it, and next thing you know, Derrick Henry, you never know. You put your helmet right on the ball, the helmet go, you know, the ball go flying out. You don't know you have a chance until you take the chance.
I love you, and that's a great little motto. You should print t-shirts. I ain't tackling Derrick Henry. John Trimble via Twitter.
But anybody that has on a helmet and a shoulder pad on a Sunday should be trying to tackle Derrick Henry.
100%.
Yeah.
I don't have a helmet or shoulder pad. I'm wearing a suit with some gel in my hair. It's a different situation. John Trimble says his blame pie, 50% Ron Rivera for bad defensive drafts, 50% O-line and B-Rob being hurt. B, do you have a message? So Emmanuel Forbes, Jamin Davis yesterday were both healthy scratches.
Mm-hmm.
That is an indictment on drafting in the past, period. But I also think we got to stop asking why.
I don't think you. I think people ask why just because ultimately, you've heard Joe Witt say over and over again, we're going to put people down and put people up that we think give us the best chance of winning. Obviously, he didn't think those two guys gave them the best chance of winning. Okay? And yes, they didn't win the game. But the guys that they put out there, they felt gave them a better chance than those two guys. And that's all you got to go with. You know, but people sit here. I recall everyone expecting Jamin to be cut. Now you wonder, why is he not on the field? It's weird, man. Well, where did this group come from?
Landfill's Blame Pie, and we hit the phones when we come back.